In the name of Christ Jesus, the fullest expression of God's love. The section of scripture that will be our focus for consideration and meditation today is the gospel reading read earlier from Matthew 5, specifically verses 43 through 48. Recently, I came across an account of a love letter that was sent by a young man to his girlfriend. And his intention was to express his undying love for her, but he sent some mixed signals. These are his words. "My love for you is unending. For you, I would climb the highest mountain. For you, I would swim the deepest sea. For you, I would cross burning deserts. I would do anything for you. With endless love, Joe." So far, so good, but then comes the postscript. "P.S. I'll see you on Saturday if it doesn't rain." If it doesn't rain. Well, doesn't that express the reality of our love? In theory, we would like for our love to be truly sacrificial and costly towards others. But in reality, it is so oftentimes simply a love of convenience, what's easy for us. In our text today, Jesus points us to another kind of love, to a different kind of love, to a higher kind of love. It's a love that is not based on convenience and ease, but one that is costly and tough. He begins in verse 43. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" In a sense, Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament law here, specifically Leviticus chapter 19. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," that command. And yet, he doesn't preface it by saying, "It is written." Instead, "You have heard it said." So what Jesus is depicting here is the conventional wisdom of the day about this command. That is, the popular interpretation of it, the spin that people are putting on this command, even the scribes and Pharisees. And what is that spin? It revolves around their understanding of who the neighbor is that we are to love. They would say, "It's your friend. It's your family, your compatriot, those who are easy to love." But it does not include your enemy. It doesn't include that Roman soldier or that wretched tax collector or the Samaritans or the Gentiles. Not them. "You shall love your neighbor, but hate your enemy." This was the standard operating procedure of the people to whom Jesus is speaking. And not only them, of the world. Jesus makes that clear in verses 46 and 47. He says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?" Jesus is saying this is the standard operating procedure for the world standard of love. Loving those who love you back. Even the Gentiles do that. But Jesus points us to a different kind of love, and a more difficult kind of love. He says, "You have heard it said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you." Ah, that's a very different kind of love. Christ, who here in the Sermon on the Mount stands in the spirit of Moses, as one greater than Moses, proclaims to us God's perfect law, the law of perfect love. And he says that this love is a sacrificial love, a costly love, a love that is self-effacing, a love that reaches out to the opponent and to the enemy. It is a tough love. And I use that term not in the more typical way that we understand it. Usually we talk about tough love in the sense of disciplining someone for their good out of love for them, such as I would do to my 3-year-old son at the dinner table, say, "No, you can't leave the table and go play until you've eaten your vegetables." I do that out of love. I'm tough with him for his good. But this is another kind of tough love that is being spoken of here. This is a love that is tough on the lover. It's difficult for the lover to express such love. And why it's tough is because it's love that's extended to tough people, to people who are tough to love, to your enemies, to those who hurt you. That's tough. Imagine that you have completed your preparation for pastoral ministry, and you've been placed in a congregation. And now for several years, you have served that congregation. You've given it your best. You've devoted 70-plus hour work weeks to that flock. You've spent sleepless nights caring for the people. You have juggled the responsibilities of pastoral ministry and pastoral care. And yet, there is a contingent of your congregation that opposes you. They want to see you out. They say that you haven't done enough for the congregation. They say that you're leading the congregation in the wrong direction. And they want you out and replaced. Your response is one of feeling great betrayal, understandably so, and being bitter, hurt. But even more so, that contingent of your flock you no longer love. You hate them. You despise them. They've hurt you. You don't love them. That's the way that our flesh responds. And it's so easy and so natural. Those are the times when love isn't easy, but tough. In fact, it's too tough for us. We can't love in those circumstances. Instead, we retaliate, we get back, we hurt those who have hurt us. You know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And as we do so, we fall short of God's standard of love, His perfect love. We miss the mark. We sin. And so we are deserving of His condemnation. By our own power, we cannot love like that. We can't do it by our own power. But there is another power. And that power is described for us in our text as well. Because there is one in our text who loves the loveless, who extends his grace out to those who would hurt him. Jesus describes this one in verse 45. He says, "Your Father who is in heaven causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." He's saying God is the one who loves all, even, especially, those who are evil and unrighteous, whose sin is an affront to him. Those who have rebelled against him, in his providing love, he sends down the warm sun rays and delivers the raindrops to water the ground. But God's love goes even beyond that of providing for those creaturely needs. His love extends into our deepest need, the need for His forgiveness. God showed His love most fully by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to share with this tough world his tough love. Paul puts it best, I think, in Romans chapter 5. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? We were once his enemies, and yet he has reconciled us to himself through the death of his Son. Christ came into this world and faced rejection, hatred, scourging and spurning, cursing and crucifixion. But what did he do? He offered up a prayer to those who persecuted him: Father, forgive them. And in his death, he won that forgiveness for them. He won that forgiveness for you, you who were once his enemy. So that now in Christ, God looks at you and he sees not an enemy, he sees his friend. He sees more than a friend. He sees family. As Jesus says in verse 45, you have become sons of your Father in heaven. All because of the love of Christ. A love that was not convenient and easy, but a love that was tough. But what's more is that now his tough love can be lived through us, that we can love others who are tough to love as well. This is what Jesus means in verse 45 when he says, since you have become sons of the Father, you can now live like the Father and love like the Father. And you can do that through the power of the Father, the power of his love. Jesus' tough love now not only comes to me, but it comes through me and flows through me to others, that I can love those who are tough to love. Pastor Uwe Holmer was a Lutheran pastor in East Berlin during the communist days of rule. And because he was a Christian pastor, he and his family were oppressed and persecuted by the atheistic communist government. For example, his 8 children were not allowed to enter into the university and thus were delegated to some second-rate status in society because they had been confirmed as Lutherans. Pastor Homer and his family were persecuted, if you will, by the hardline communist East German government. And that government had been headed by a man, the East German premier, whose name was Erich Honecker. But when the Berlin Wall fell and the East German communist government collapsed, Erich Honecker, suddenly became an outcast. He became like radioactive. Nobody would touch him. He and his wife were cast out of their palatial residence, were homeless, outcast, and in very poor health, walking the streets of Berlin. No one would take him in until a humble pastor by the name of Homer, remembering Jesus' words to love one's enemy, went out and sought after the Honeckers, welcomed them into his small parsonage apartment to live with him and his family. There, the former East German premier, atheistic premier, sat at the table of this family, received of their love, of their provision. And over time, Erich Honecker, the former premier of atheistic East Germany, would fold his hands and bow his head as he joined in prayer to a gracious and loving God with the Homer family. That is the transforming power of God's tough love. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus says, love your enemy, do good, pray for those who persecute you. We are held before us two standard operating procedures, that of the world, a love of convenience and ease, and that of Christ, a love of the cross, a love that is tough. May Christ, who has shed his blood upon you and his love into your heart, empower you now to love others as he has loved you, to love those who are tough to love. Amen.